Do you have repair projects that you've been putting off, whether it's basement waterproofing, concrete raising, structural repairs, or attic insulation? PermaSeal provides quality work and free inspections. Don't wait. Call PermaSeal 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
Dr. John Duffy is a clinical psychologist, a parenting expert, author of Rescuing Our Sons, 8 Solutions to Our Crisis of Disaffected Teen Boys. I was just kicking myself. I thought, oh my gosh, we love him so much. And why did we wait for another school shooting before we had a conversation? Welcome back to the show, Dr. Duffy.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. It's good to talk to you. I'm sorry about the circumstances.
It's tragic. It's pure tragedy, one we've seen too often. And I was talking to John Williams, and I was talking to Mary because she has grandkids that are 6 and 8 in a Catholic school at Mass. She could relate. It brought her to tears. When do you talk to kids? And do kids that age have any idea of what has happened? Do you think they hear it on the playground or they hear someone talking about it on the radio while their parents are listening?
I'm so glad you're asking. I'm working with younger kids now, and I am finding that the youngest kids are aware of this phenomenon. So if any parent or grandparent out there or caregiver thinks, oh, you know what, I think I can protect my child from even knowing that school shootings are taking place, the luxury you have is they already know. So it is important that you talk to them, because you're not introducing something new to them that's going to scare them. They're already feeling that fear, so you have the opportunity to begin to mitigate it.
In fact, it was eye-opening because Colin is one of our producers, and Colin, how old are you?
28.
He said he's never lived without school shooting drills or school shootings. Many of us had a luxury of living in a time where it just wasn't a thing, but they're doing shooter drills, and these kids are aware.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel for the parents that I know and work with, Lisa, because they don't remember doing this. We remember tornado drills, and we
right.
used to laugh during those, right? You know, now kids take this stuff very, very seriously. I will tell you that, like yesterday, when I found out about this situation, I find out from clients. I sometimes found out from kids texting me from a classroom or from a church. This didn't happen yesterday. That, you know, hey, just in case you need to know for somebody later today, there's been a shooting down in Uvalde, Texas, or up Minneapolis, or in Colorado. You should probably know about that just in case somebody needs to talk it through this afternoon. So these kids are actually watching out for each other.
That's sweet.
But they're very aware that this is happening. And the hopeless thing I get that I hear over and over in my office is, hey, this could happen in my school. You can't tell me it can't, you know?
Right. Kids know they feel vulnerable mm-hmm. because they know they are vulnerable. So let's go by age group. How do you have an appropriate conversation to offer comfort to a kid in that 6 to 8 range?
Yeah. So you start with just the basics. Always 6 to 8 in particular, but any age, ask them first, hey, what have you heard about what went on today? Or what have you heard about these things in general? And listen to them and validate their feelings about them. Don't promise them, oh, don't worry about it. You're going to be safe and everything's great. Because kids are very smart and enterprising these days. They'll smell that rat. So listen to them, hear them out, and then give them the comfort that, yeah, you're right. We have a problem with this. Acknowledge that, and that, hey, we adults, this is tricky, but we are working on it. And we are trying to figure it out. And trust that we are taking care of you. And, you know, it's important to say to 6 to 8-year-olds, you are safe.
Good.
You are safe and you are going to be safe. They need to hear that.
All right, good. And then when you get into the preteen group, that's probably well aware of it because they know everything that's going on. Can the conversation be a little more in-depth?
It has to be. It has to be. This is a discerning group. And they may come to you with the issue, but if they don't, go to them. And you may have to go into the room. You may have to pull an earbud out and say, we're going to spend 5 or 10 minutes talking about this. Tell me what your thoughts and feelings are on it. I want to tell you that we are figuring this out, but you're going to tell me, well, you're not doing a great job because I keep hearing it happening over and over again. And what I usually tell parents to do is, ask them and your high school kids to jump ahead a group. well, what do you guys think we should do? What do you think what would help most from your perspective? You guys are the experts on each other. You know each other better than anybody else. Do you have any thoughts about what would help and anything we can do now to help the people who are affected by what happened in Minneapolis, for example, and right. kids like that kind of engagement and participation?
Yeah, they want to contribute. Just like you said that some of your patients who are children are texting you saying, hey, in case you have other kids coming in today, you know, be prepared. There was a school shooting in Minneapolis. And of course, this was another level of tragedy. The shooter on the outside, the kids in the church. It's just... It's traumatizing for all of us. So if you find that your child's been traumatized by something like this, does that mean you need to get them professional help immediately?
Yeah, it does. And I would love to say, no, you've got plenty of time and, you know, don't worry about it. That trauma will dissipate. But this trauma tends to stick, Lisa, because there's a fear of it happening again. And there's a fear of it happening closer to home. And that's persistent and tends to grow over time, not shrink. So the sooner you can get your child into a therapist who has some experience with this kind of trauma, the better off they're going to be. If they can just talk it through, work it through, even if it's just for a couple of sessions, and then they've got a go-to therapist for whatever comes along in the future. So there's a little bit of a win-win there.
Obviously, the parents of this murderer had to have some indication there were issues because the manifesto was so hate-filled. How do you recognize that something is really not working? That your child is not mentally healthy?
Really important question, and the inclination for so many of us parents is, he's not my kid, and so we want to assume, and we look for data to confirm that our child is okay. And it's a weird thing to ask, but I'm pressing parents now, look for the warning signs. Look for a dramatic shift in the way they present, their affect. You know, do they seem more dark, depressed, anxious, alone more of the time? Do they suddenly seem relieved? That's a little bit of a warning sign that you want to check in on. Every once in a while, check in on their social media. Like, you know, in this circumstance and in so many of them, there are threatening messages right out there or messages of despair. And so, you know, don't assume this couldn't possibly be your child. Go on the possibility that your child could be in some distress, even if they present pretty well, and check in on them frequently. There is absolutely never going to be a downside to that.
It sounds like Steve has a question.
John, I'm going to ask you a question. Hi, John.
Hi, Steve.
It's a genuine question. I don't have a point of view or an idea of what the correct answer is. But when something like this happens, we all feel hurt and we feel angry, and our rhetoric is notched up. And so this shooter, this killer, is described as evil, described as maniacal, described as filled with hate, consumed by killers. And as a mental health professional, I'm just wondering what you think of that terminology and that part of this story.
This is going to be, I'm glad you asked, Steve, and this is a really important point. I'm going to spend just a second on it because my point of view might not be the most popular, but I really believe it to be true. I think there's something really cheap and reductive and overly simplistic about just writing somebody off as this evil maniac or any other label. It prevents us from starting to think upstream about the 5 or 6 year old who might be tomorrow's school shooter. And that child is heading into a time of distress in their life that brings them to this point. So, if we're ever going to get to a point of prevention, we've got to get away from the idea that, like, oh, this person was born a monster. There was never anything anybody could do. We need to recognize this is a child in distress. We're not forgiving anything, any awful thing that they've done or will do. But to recognize this is a child in distress, this is probably worth studying so that we can prevent that another child in distress from getting in this space anytime in the future. So it's a really, really important question, and the labels do not help us.
And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. You know, I really am, you know, because I guess it kind of puts it in a safe box for me. They're evil. Not everybody's like that. And I don't know why that is, but I've just learned something and I'll work on it.
That's all we can ask.
It's always wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist, parenting expert, author of Rescuing Our Sons, 8 Solutions to Our Crisis of Disaffected Teen Boys.